Sermon title was To Tithe or Not to Tithe. If you're visiting with us, I'm going to say this right up front, and I just need you to hear me, okay? Every November, and I've done this for 19 years without fail, every November I teach and preach on the tithe. And if you don't like to tithe, God bless you. If you like to tithe, God bless you. If you think I'm wrong, God bless you. If you think I'm right, God bless you. What I'm telling you is I don't argue over the tithe. I believe in the tithe. We teach the tithe. I have been tithing and believing in the tithe since I got saved. And there's a lot going on, especially nowadays, where people say the tithe was Old Testament law. It is not New Testament. And we're under grace, which, by the way, under grace, man, that means we should be given like 50% of what we have. Amen. Because we're like, how appreciative are you that God, that Jesus, God the Father sends Jesus the Son to die on the cross for you and me so we have a way to heaven? What is that worth? I'm just curious, right? Like, what is that worth? And so if we're going grace giving, then grace giving says, I'm going to give this because you gave your all. So I'm going to give a portion, what is grace giving? Grace giving far exceeds the tithe. I believe in the tithe, and I'm going to tell you why I believe in the tithe. And then I'm going to show you scripturally why I think the tithe is for us today, for the New Testament church, for the dispensation of grace. I know tithe is under the law, the Old Testament. If you go back and listen to two weeks ago where I was teaching on the tithe, you'll see that, you'll hear it. And then this week I'm covering the New Testament, right? And when people go, they want to argue the tithe. They just want to argue with me. It's not biblical. We don't have to do it. We don't owe God nothing. It's like, anyway, did I do that out loud? Okay, here we go. To tithe or not to tithe. We're going to look in Matthew chapter 22, 15 through 22. I didn't give that one to you, did I, guys? Don't worry about it. Just don't even worry about it. I gave you another one. Mark chapter 12, 13 through 17, if you pull it up. So this passage has to do with the Pharisees as a matter of fact, in Matthew, it says that the scribes and the Pharisees and all the evil ones sent their disciples. So Satan has disciples as well, right? Amen? And so they send their disciples, and it says here, let's look at this. It says, then they sent to him, Jesus, we know it's Jesus because it's capitalized. Then they sent to him some of the Pharisees. Pharisees were the corrupt religious leaders of the day. And they were supposed to be teachers of the Word of God, but they did not do that well. And they didn't lead very well either. So anyway, some of the Pharisees and the Herodians, government officials, because the whole idea was they are going to, they're planning an attack on Jesus is what they're trying to do. They're trying to plan an assault on him, to trip him up, to trick him, to catch him, to use the words of the scriptures, to catch him in his words. Man, let's go and we're going to present, you know, okay, here's just the funniest thing to me. You know, the Pharisees and the Herodians and the scribes and the chief priests, they were not intelligent people. They just were not intelligent men. And you go, well, how did they get to position? Like many politicians get it today. It's corrupt. So anyway, these guys aren't intelligent. Let me tell you why. Because how many times do we read where they try to trip up Jesus and it always comes back on them? They just can't get him. Do you know why? Because he's God. And he already knows what they're thinking before they ever get to him. And so it's no different in this situation. So it says they're going to try and catch him in his words. Next verse. When they had come, they said to him, Teacher. Now, I want you to see the sarcasm dripping from this. Just dripping from this, okay? Teacher, we know that you are true and care about no one. You don't care about no one, Jesus. You're in it for yourself. For you do not regard the persons of men, but you teach the way of God. You don't care about anyone. You don't care about what anybody thinks. You only care about the way of God. So, teacher, we know you're true, but do you hear the sarcasm in it? And they're trying to inflate him a little bit, right? Saying, okay, you are God. You care about the things of God. You're a true teacher. And they're trying to puff him up. But it doesn't work because Jesus, if we were to go in Matthew, you would see Jesus is like, boys, you're getting nowhere with this one, right? So it's like, we know you teach the way of God in truth. There's the setup right there. We know you teach the way of God in truth. Is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not? I love the question because they're trying to set up the Jews. Do we pay? They're Jews, and they're saying, do we pay the Roman government taxes? Because we're not supposed to. They're not our God. So they're bringing in an assumed Old Testament ideology into the New Testament to capture Jesus and get him caught up in his words. And so they just know they have him here. Is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar? And you might say, well, what's this got to do with the tithe? Well, hold on. I'm going to show you. Next. Do we need to answer that? Hello? I'm in church where you should be, you heathen. I'll see you in 20 minutes. I know you're that close. Goodbye.
I'm so sorry.
That's all right. Hang up. Anyone else want to check their phone? Here we go. Shall we pay or shall we not pay taxes to Caesar? That was a little theatrical, wasn't it? Shall we pay? Never mind. Here we go. But he, Jesus, knowing their hypocrisy, he knew their heart and it was set on evil. And I'm just going to tell you this, guys, and you need to hear me. First off, if you're visiting, I don't want your money. I don't want your money. What I teach is the word of God, and I teach the tithe, and I teach it in context. And so if you have a problem, I'm just telling you right up front, right? If you have a problem with tithing, keep your money. Keep it. I'm not, whether you tithe or don't tithe or give or don't give or don't tip, whatever you choose to do, you're not going to affect me. Okay? So you have to hear this up front. If you give a big tithe, I don't get a raise. You hear what I'm saying? I mean, like, I'm just putting it out there. You're like, oh, see how much this pastor's going to get? Zero. Just letting you know. My point is, guys, I'm going to roll into this, and I don't want to sound like I'm being sarcastic to you, but I'm teaching you the things of God, and I'm teaching you the word of God. And if you go back last week or 2 weeks ago, you're going to remember that God said the reason he set the tithe was to keep our focus on him. That's the reason for the tithe, and that we honor the Lord, we give to the Lord, and we stay focused on the Lord. That was the whole reason for the tithe. And some people say, I give $10, I give $20, I give $100, I give 2%, I give 3%, but what is the tithe? It's 10%. And so all I'm doing is I'm teaching this, and when we get through this, you're going to hear some sarcasm come out of me because it's just bad humor because I don't have good jokes. But at any rate, it's just you have to listen and follow through with this. If we get worked up about a dollar bill over our God, then you have to ask yourself, is the dollar bill your God? Okay, that's real. And again, if you're visiting, I'm not after your money. I'm trying to teach you what the Word of God says, and then you pray about it and see what God would have you to do, okay? All right, shall we pay or shall we not pay? But he, knowing their hypocrisy, said to them, why do you test me? Why do you test me? Here's the interesting thing about Jesus asking them, why do you test me? Because if you think back into Malachi, it's the only place in Scripture where God talks about money and he says, test me in this. Test me with your money. Prove me right now. Try me in this, he says. But here he's like, why do you test me? Because this isn't about money. This isn't about tithe. This is about them being a hypocrite, and they're trying to trap Jesus in his words so that they think if he answers one way, the government will get him. If he answers another way, the people will turn on him. And so this whole question for them is a setup. Jesus knows that, and he's like, why are you trying to test me? But then he says this, bring me a denarius that I may see it. A denarius was like a penny. On the front, it had the face of Caesar. On the back, it said, basically, I can't remember the statement now. I just went brain dead, but basically that Caesar's God. Okay? And so he says, bring me a denarius that I may see it. Next verse. So they brought it, and he said to them, whose image and inscription is this? Well, they look at it, okay, Caesar's on the front, the inscription's on the back of Caesar being God, basically, divine being. There's different coins that have different sayings on them. So they said to him, they're so arrogant. You have to catch what's going on here. They're so arrogant that they think they got him. They think they have Jesus, and so they're like, Caesar's. No hesitation, no nothing. We got you, baby. Come on, Jesus, is what kind of was going through their brain. Caesar's. Look here, next verse. And Jesus answered and said to them, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's and to God the things that are God's. And they marveled at him. I want you to look here at the wording, because if we say render, that word render is, that's the key. That is the crux of this whole passage right here. I'm just going to tell you, because if we put give to Caesar the things that are Caesar's and to God the things that are God's, it's interesting because we have to stay in context. Go here. I put this up. My next slide outside. There you go. Context, context, context. Because what happened is so many times we read the Bible, and when we read the Bible, we read a verse, and we read that verse, and we take it completely out of context because we want it to fit our narrative rather than fit the context in the passage of which it's written. And so when we look at this and we see, go back to that verse, please, that last verse, there you go. Render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's and to God the things that are God's. I want you to answer this question for me. What is God's? Everything. Then why do you and I have anything? If everything is God's, why do we have anything? Because God gives it to us. God allows us to have it. And God, listen, God's like, I want you blessed. I want you blessed, like especially the children of God. I want you blessed more than anyone. That doesn't mean that I'm preaching up here prosperity giving, that if you give 100, you're going to get 1,000. Because listen, everybody in their right mind would be, okay, how about if I give you 1,000? I'm going to get 10,000. I'm in here. And then I give my first 1,000, I get 10,000 back, and then I just give another 1,000, and then I get a 10,000, and then I give another 1,000. I'm not even operating on my money anymore. I'm operating on the 10,000 God gave me. Amen. I'm going to spend a 9, just keep giving 1,000. I'm filthy rich if we look at it that way. That's not how God operates. God says in Malachi, and we're going to go look in Malachi, which I didn't give you guys, but be ready to pull it up. But in Malachi, God talks about how if you, that you, first off, you rob me of my tithe. You rob me of my tithes and offerings. First off, he says this, return to me and I will return to you. They say, return to you? How shall we return to you? And he says, you rob me of my tithes and offerings. You left me and you're serving other gods and you're giving to the governor and you're taking what's mine and you're giving it away. You left me. When you stop tithing, you left me. See, the principle, though, isn't about money, but although what we do with our money shows our love for God. Does that make sense? And 2 weeks ago, if you go back and listen to that sermon, you'll see where I read scripture where God said the reason for the tithe is to keep you walking closer to me. Now, I've paraphrased, obviously, but that was the whole gist of the tithe. And what he put in there in the Old Testament, we never saw where the tithe was before the law, during the law, after the law. We never saw where the tithe ever left. And we keep saying it's under law. And I'm like, no, it was well before. It was 400 years before the law we read about the tithe. It was well before the law. But for some reason, we don't like to retain that part of it. We don't want that part of it. And so at any rate, he says, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's and to God the things that are God's. Well, I asked AI, what does God own? I did, right? It's like, I never use AI. I think AI, well, it's a great tool, but I think eventually it's going to be used for an evil tool and so on and so forth, right? What if Daniel, in the book of Daniel, chapter 9, when Daniel was talking about the statue that he sees, and he says, the statue comes to life, and then the statue starts giving orders. What if the statue is a robot, and the robot operates off of AI? What if? Anyway, okay. So I was like, hey, AI. I don't know what else to call it. Some of you have it named George, Ken, Francis. I don't know. I was like, hey, AI, which I actually only typed in the question. I didn't ask it anything. But in my brain, I asked it, right? What does God own? That was literally my question. What does God own? And this is what came up. It says, according to Judeo-Christian and I was kind of blown away, it added in, and Islamic beliefs. I was like, really? Muslims believe this? They just don't believe in the right God, but apparently they believe that their God owns everything too. They just don't know that their God is our God, and their God that they don't believe is our God, because our God is going to judge their God and them. Don't have me to repeat that one. You have to go listen to it later. According to Judeo-Christian and Islamic beliefs, God owns everything in creation, including the heavens, the earth, all living things, and all wealth. Like, go AI. This is because God is the creator and sustainer of all things, meaning humans are considered temporary stewards of possessions, not their ultimate owners. And I thought, that's actually really interesting. AI comes up with this. God owns everything, including all wealth. God is the creator and sustainer of all things, and we are stewards. Stewards manage someone else's stuff. So we're to manage God's money. What does it look like to be a good steward? And do we give back to the person who gave us everything, do we give back a portion? If you borrow money from a bank, you're paying interest, amen? I don't see where it's any different that we give a tithe or a tenth back to God for all that he gives us, only for him to bless us again, according to his word, if we test him or try him in that. So I thought, okay, that's pretty interesting. Next slide. So I went on. What God owns. This, by the way, this is direct from AI. I just did a copy and paste from AI. If you go to Google, what does God own? You're going to come up with all of this, and you'll see that I didn't add in anything. What God owns? All of creation. God is the creator of the entire universe, which includes everything in it. Because I think all means all, and that's all means. Amen? All means all. It's everything, minus nothing. All. Number two, the earth and its inhabitants. Scripture explicitly states that the earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. And the reason that the world is God's is because he made it. And the reason that everyone in it is God's is because he purchased every human being with the blood of Jesus. So Jesus bought everyone. And now here's what's interesting. People say, well, Jesus doesn't own the non-believers. Yet who did he die for? Everybody. So who does he own? Everybody. So I thought, okay, I like AI so far. AI is tracking with me. I like that. Next. It says animals and plants, all creatures from the cattle on 1,000 hills to every animal in the forest belong to God. Wealth and resources. And I thought, how crazy is it that AI brought all of this up? I'm excited. I take a world tool, a tool of the world, and it confirms the word of God. That's the crazy thing about AI. AI always tells the truth. It just may leave certain things out. But it always has the truth in it. I find this interesting, especially, and I love it when it works in my favor. Wealth and resources. The world's wealth, including silver and gold, belongs to God. He is also the one who gives people the ability to produce wealth. And I thought, AI, you want to preach for me today? And he said no. But anyway, I thought, this is crazy that AI knows this and confirms the word of God, but yet people will argue with it, which brings us up to the next one. People. Humans belong to God as well, not just because he created them, but because they are also bought with a price. AI. I'm like, yes. So then I moved on, and the implication of God's ownership. AI responded with this. Implication of God's ownership, stewardship. Because God is the ultimate owner, people are seen as stewards or managers of what they possess. They are entrusted with God's resources and are accountable for how they use them. Go AI. Next. Responsibility. Believers are encouraged to use their possessions for God's glory and for the benefit of others, understanding that nothing is truly permanent or solely their own. Do we take responsibility and use our possessions for others? Or do we do what they were doing in Malachi with, they were giving the governor the best of everything and giving God the rotted, snotted calves, if you will, the sick ones and so on and so forth. Like, is that what we do? Do we give God the best, the first? God, here's the tithe because you are the most important thing in my life, and I'm going to honor you with your word and everything going on. Or do we go, God, after I'm done paying all my bills and purchasing the things I want and then purchasing more of the things I want, if there's anything left, sure, I'll kick you a buck or two. Yeah, we can do that. Like, is that your mentality? Obviously I don't want you to answer, but I'm just asking the question. Do we take responsibility and understand that all of our possessions, including our wealth, is God's, and then do we use it accordingly? Or do we just say, thank you, God, and run like they did in Malachi? Humility. Recognizing that God owns everything fosters humility and reliance on God. I love AI today. In all seriousness, think of it. This is a computer answering my question. Recognizing that God owns everything fosters humility and reliance on God rather than on material possessions. That's why God calls us to tithe. And then people will tell me, Pastor, you just want widows' monies. Yes. And you want families' money that they're barely struggling to make it, and you want to take their 10% tithe and they can't even hardly pay their bills. Is that what you're telling me? Yes. Well, I can never sit under a pastor like that that just will take people's money. Well, God bless you. Go find another one. Well, Pastor, you're rude. Maybe. At times, yes. All the time, no. Honest, though. I am honest, even when I'm rude. I'm just saying, like, this is the mentality that people will have. And the reality is, if we look at the widow that gave the two mites, do you realize a mite is less than a penny? And she had two of them. And Jesus is watching over the offering, the basket, if you will, that was set up. And everybody's coming in, and they're kind of like, the rich people are like, $1,000. And another one comes over, I got you beat, 10. And another one just carries a check like everybody can see it and drops it in. And then here comes this widow. She's got nothing. The only thing she has possession-wise is the two mites. That's it. And she takes those two mites, which is all she has, by the way. And she goes up and she drops them in and walks away. Doesn't make a noise, doesn't make a sound, doesn't say anything to anyone. Just puts in her penny. And Jesus stops everything. And he says, this widow gave more than all of you. You're like, what do you mean gave more than all of us? She only put in a penny. Did you hear my 10,000? And Jesus says, she gave out of her necessity. You gave out of your abundance. What he was really saying was, she trusts me. She held nothing back. She gave me not only what was mine, but what was more than mine. She trusted me. Do you honestly believe that God didn't take notice of that? The Bible says that Jesus took notice of it. Did he condemn the widow? Whoa, get that out. You can't afford that. Take that out. Did he condemn? No, he took it and he kept it. And you're like, that's all the widow had. How dare God take it? Man, what a narcissistic God. No, what a big God. And what a big God that she believed in that said, he can give me more than I got. And I eat every day because of my God, who says that he feeds the sparrows every day or the ravens every day what they need, which, by the way, you realize a bird eats equal to its own weight every day. So when you say I eat like a bird, so birds eat equal to their own weight every day. And then Jesus says, your Father in heaven feeds them. How much more does he love you? How much more does he love you? And so when we look at all of that, do I expect the widow to tithe? No, God does. You see the difference? I'm just the messenger. Unfortunately, people like to shoot the messenger. Humility. Man, when you give to God, you recognize that he is the one that we rely on. Interesting, AI gets it, but man can't. So then we go back to Matthew. Go back to Matthew, Mark, if you will. Mark 12. I'm giving you a minute here. 12:17. Mark 12:17. I already had it up for you. There you go. So as I was looking at this, and I'm like, what does Caesar's taxes have to do with God's tithe? That's a reasonable question. Amen. And if we're going to keep everything in context, let's look at this again. Jesus answered and said to them, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's and to God the things that are God's, and they marveled at him. Go back up one verse. Do we pay the tithe or don't we pay the tithe? Jesus says, whose image is on it? They said, Caesar's. What are we talking about here? What are we talking about? Money? Are we talking about money when we talk about taxes? Did I say, do we pay the tithe or not? Do we pay taxes? Is this passage about money? Yes or no? Okay, don't be like the Pharisees who are like, if we answer, he'll trap us. I'm not trying to trap you. It's a simple question. Is this passage speaking about money? Yes, it is, contextually. So then I thought, and I always thought this had to do with the tithe, and it gave clarification of the tithe, and people were like, no, go down to 17, please. Render to Caesar things that are Caesar's and to God the things that are God. And people go, no, Pastor, you don't understand. You're trying to add the tithe in there, and the tithe has nothing to do with this. This is spiritual. And so you're to give to God the things that are God's. Well, what's God's? Your spirituality. You're supposed to be holy and righteous. And okay, so is that God's? No, it's mine. If we're going to talk about my spirituality and my holiness and my righteousness, that's not God's, that's mine. And God holds me accountable to my holiness. So we can't say it's spiritual because it doesn't apply. Would you agree? Yes or no? So it's hard to apply, isn't it? It's talking about money, and if you insert anything else other than money in there, you are what's called eisegesis. You are adding to the scriptures what doesn't belong or what's not in there. And so if I talk about this as about spiritualness and my walk with Jesus and all of that, that's got nothing to do with that. Render render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and render, right? Can we say that? Can we say render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's and render to God the things that are God's? Would that be accurate? Yes. It's proper English. I may not be able to speak it, but I do understand it. So I thought, let's do this. Let's look at the word render. That, I think, is going to be the key to this whole passage. Render. Epidenomi is what it is, or denoma. There's no long vowel at the end. It literally means to pay back, to repay. What? How do you repay or pay back or pay spirituality? You can't pay it. You can only live it. How can I give back to God what he's given to me, which is my spirituality? I can't give that back to him. I can only live it out. I can only honor him with my life, with my holiness. Listen, the word render cannot mean my walk. So this is not a you know, there's so many very popular pastors that teach that this has nothing to do with the tithe and nothing to do with money. But when you look at the word render, you cannot escape it. You just can't. Render, to pay, pay back, repay, a verb used to describe giving payment in return for something. Giving payment. Not giving of myself and my time. No, giving payment. This is finances we're talking. This is money. And I know for some people, they're like, another church, another pastor talking about money. I don't want your money. Keep it. I'm trying to teach you what the word of God says, and then you take it to the Lord and you deal with the Lord over it. Because after November, I don't talk about money anymore. And anybody that's been here, I got people that's been here all 19 years. And once we're done with November, I don't bring up money again unless money's in the passage that we're covering. And by the way, if you're visiting with us, just so you clearly understand, I don't search out passages each week. That takes too much time to talk about a topic. What I do is I just teach the next verse. So we'll start in a book, and then we go from verse to verse to verse in that book until we're done with the book, and then we start another book. So if we're in a book and it happens to talk about money, it's the next verse. I'm not going to pass it up. I'm not going to avoid it. And I'm not going to teach it wrong. In November, we talk about money. Why do we talk about money? Well, of course I want your money. And so we, never mind. I'm just trying to tell you that if God doesn't have everything you have, does God have you? That's the real question. At any rate, render. To pay, pay back, to repay. Next slide, please. The word can refer, and by the way, I did a copy paste on everything so that nobody thought I was just picking and choosing, right? I went back to the original Greek in this. This word can refer to paying back a loan, such as Matthew 18:25, paying wages to hired workers, Matthew 20:8, or paying people for their deeds, whether good or bad, Matthew 16:27. Also could refer to a tribute, Matthew 22:21. And I thought, tribute? Do we owe God a tribute? That's an interesting word. But if you notice, the word render is all about money. Would you agree with that? Okay. So I went on the last one, could also refer to a tribute, such as Matthew 22:21, and I know that we're in Mark 12:15, but it literally says the exact same thing: render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and render to God the things that are God's. So when I saw a tribute, I thought, that's interesting. So what will we do when we find things that are interesting? We read them. Let's look here at tribute. Mincha. Tribute literally means mincha. A gift or payment from a nation to a superior power. I thought, that's interesting. Like Israel to God, or the Christians to God. That would be superior power or nation, a group of people. Anyway, let's read on. In the ancient Near East, tribute typically took the form of valuable commodities such as precious metals and stones, foodstuffs, rare substances such as ivory or ebony, exotic animals, or people in the form of slaves or conscripted military troops. And so I thought, wow, everything there is of value. It's not fruits and vegetables, but fruits and vegetables are valuable. Don't let me minimize that, especially if you're a vegan, you really love them. But that's another sermon. All right. So I see tribute, mincha, is a gift or payment from a weaker group to a superior power. That's literally what this means. And I thought, okay, what would tribute mean in the New Testament? Go to the next slide. Wait a minute. I'm not even there yet. I got to finish up tribute before I get to the New Testament. It says tribute was an ongoing demonstration. And I found this interesting. Ongoing demonstration of submission by a defeated people. And you say, well, I'm not defeated. I got victory in Jesus. Yeah, but if without Jesus, we're defeated. Amen. Thus, it differed from plunder, which was taken by the victor in the immediate aftermath of a battle. Ancient peoples also could pay tribute in order to avoid a military confrontation. But I thought it was interesting that, and I didn't want to take anything out of context or pick and choose, so I put the whole definition up. Tribute was an ongoing demonstration of submission. I thought, okay, I can see why they put tribute by Matthew 22:21, where it says render or tribute, give to God what is God's, continuously. It doesn't end. I thought that's it's a ongoing demonstration of submission. I'm like, wow, all this is starting to make sense. Amen. Or is it just me? I really am seeing this all fit together like a beautiful puzzle that nobody stole the pieces from. So then I said, okay, New Testament. What is tribute in the New Testament? And this is what I find. Under the Roman Empire, the concept of tribute gave way to an integrated system of taxation from controlled territories. Rome implemented more localized control over revenues of subservient states. Roman representatives, including tax collectors and governors, ensured that a steady stream of revenue flowed from the subjected people in Rome. I find it interesting. Again, I see steady stream of revenue. In response to a question from the Pharisees about taxes, Jesus shifted the focus from taxation to the proper tribute to God. I didn't write this. This is what I pulled out when I started researching the word tribute and going back to the Greek and so on and so forth. And I was like, oh, wow, interesting. Jesus shifted the focus from taxation to the proper tribute to God. What is the proper tribute to God? If we stay in context, it's money. It's the tithe. See, guys, if you get jacked up, I'm just telling you, listen, James talks about things that show whether we walk with Jesus or we don't walk with Jesus. And I'm just going to tell you, if talking about money this morning tweaks a nerve, that may be a thing to look at. Is it keeping you from Jesus? Let me say this again. I'm not after your money. I'm just teaching the things of God, because you might have to look in the mirror and go, is my money more important than God? That's all I want you to land on today. Not pastor wants your money, or I better put a tithe in, or else this is just the same church as every other church, because I promise you, we are not. But I can also tell you this, if money gets in the way or you get jacked up because God says give a tenth, you may have a spiritual problem. Do you really trust God? These are questions that only you can answer. I can't answer these. This whole idea of all of this was to get you to look at your heart. And is money in the way between you and your relationship with God? And if you want to fight over a tenth, listen, I'm just going to tell you, here's what happened to me. So in 1994, I gave my life to Jesus Christ, October 2nd, 1994. Many of you know that. So I just celebrated 30 years. I'm over 30 years now of being saved. And I love the study of the Word of God, man. I could eat this stuff up. And when I was when I got saved, the first thing they told me is, you need to get baptized. And me being the type of person I was and where I came from, I responded with, you need to show me in the Bible where I need to get baptized. And they're like, oh, right there. Okay, let's get wet. I'm ready. And I got baptized. After that, mind you, I got saved in October. Then they said, you need to start tithing. And I said, we need to talk about that. First off, what is a tithe? Because I was so biblically ignorant. This is gospel truth here. I was so, and you guys are going to go, no way. No, you'd have to be living under a rock to be that stupid. I mean, that brutish. I lived under a rock. How many remember the beepers? The beepers were about the size of this thing right here, right? And you'd wear it on and all of a sudden it'd be like beep, 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 beep. And you'd look and it'd have a phone number. And then you could call it when you wanted to talk. At any rate, I had a pager at the time and I had a cell phone. this is so funny. A bag cell phone. And then I had the what is it? The Nextel? It's like a phone / walkie-talkie. Yeah, those were awesome. So at any rate, since I didn't have a cell phone at the time, all I had was the pager. I said, because, we'd get a call or a page and then we have to run to a pay phone or a rotary phone. How many remember a little push button phone? Like, anyway, this is a real phone that was actually attached to a line that you couldn't take from the wall because then you couldn't talk to nobody if you took it from the wall. So at any rate, the pager goes off, but I told him, I said, here's what I want you to do. I look back. This is like God shutting me down. If the answer is no, put in two twos, 22. If the answer is yes, just put in three sixes. God's truth. I didn't know that was for Satan. I did not know that 666 was the symbol for Satan, but it didn't take long to figure out when nobody was calling me. And then I ended up, and then somebody's like, you know what that is? I went, 666 for yes and 22 for no. Was just text it to me. No, that's a sign of Satan. I was like, that explains it. That's how ignorant I was. So at any rate, I get into the Word of God. I start studying the Word of God, devouring the Word of God. And all I want you to do is know the Word of God. That's it. I don't want your money. I'm not after your money. If you wish to give, God bless you. And if you don't wish to give, God bless you. If you wish to tithe, God bless you. Because there's a difference between giving and tithing. Tithing is 10%. If it's less than 10%, you didn't tithe, you gave. It was an offering. It was not a tithe. And if you designate where it goes, it's an offering, it's not a tithe. My job as a pastor, and I think it's so crucial, when they told me that you had to tithe, and then they started walking through some of the scriptures, my attitude was to give God a dime of every dollar, a dime of every dollar after what he's done for me. I'm in. And they're like, well, John, it's not just a dime of every dollar. It's a dollar of every 10. I'm still in. About a 10 of every 100. Yeah, I'm still in. About 500 of every 5,000. I didn't have to think about it. Yeah, I'm still in. About 10,000 of every 100,000. What is it about I'm still in that you didn't get? See, for me, and I'm just telling you, for me, you guys got to work through this. You got to walk through it. process it all, the whole nine. For me, it's just money. It comes, it goes. It's a tool. I've never been jacked up on money. I've never had an issue with money. It comes, it goes. My wife and I, we are not in debt except for our house. So in 1996, in 94, we made the agreement that we would go debt-free and pay everything off. By 1996, we had everything paid off. And God, because the Bible says you're a servant to the lender. In other words, you're a slave to the people you owe money to. And God says, don't be a slave to the lender. So we paid everything off and we went debt free. It took us 2 years to get there. I had to sell some things. I had to, you know, we downsized from a really nice new car to a used car, but it was still really nice. Matter of fact, we had one car and I owed $10,000 on it. And or I owed $11,000 on it, and the best price I could get out of it was $10,000. So I sold it for $10,000. I paid the other $1,000 and got rid of the payment. I started doing all these things, my wife and I, not just me, but my wife and I, we started doing all these things because I wanted to be in a position where I could always honor God. And as long as I was in debt, that debt just showed that I was honoring me because I'm chasing after things that I want. And now I don't have any money to give to God what's his because I need everything that's mine and his to pay for what I want. Do you see what I'm saying? And so as I walked through this and my preacher, my pastor, we called him preacher, he was teaching all this stuff. And so I was taking all this and we were making notes and we went, okay, debt free. Let's start the process. Man, we were selling and getting rid of and paying off and so on and so forth. And then we finally, and it was less than 2 years. Actually it was a year plus. And we were at that time, we were pretty steeped in debt and we just selling, just getting rid of everything. And then if I owed money on it, if I couldn't pay it off, it was gone. I sold it and paid it off because God became my priority. And now here we are 30 years later and I'm debt free and we tithe on everything. And people say, well, do I tithe on my taxes? You know, I tithed on the money I made, and then they took taxes out, and then do I tithe on my income that I get from the taxes that I paid money on the income that I got already? Do I got to pay double tithe? Personally, I always did. And you're like, really? Yeah, because I can't outgive God. And the Bible says that we tithe on our increase, meaning that anything comes in the house, we tithe on it. Well, I got a gift card. Okay, well, you're limited to what you can do with that gift card, so it's really not money. You can spend it like money, but it's actually not money. But hey, if you want to tithe on it, God bless you. You know, hey, I go and I spend money and then I get rewards, and then so I got money that comes in. Do I got to tithe on the money that I got in rewards? And it's like, no, because you're still limited and it's not actual cash. But if you want to tithe on it, God bless you. I just say that we tithe on our increase, and that is any money that comes in our house. That's what we've always done. And that's what God talks about, is the tithe of the increase. And it's 10%. If you're not 10%, you're giving. My whole point though, guys, is my God is way bigger than a tithe. And here we are 30 years later, other than our house, we own everything we have. I'm not chasing a dollar. I'm not chasing to pay debt. I'm not losing sleep over where the next dollar bill's coming from or where the next dollar bill's got to go. Because God says, don't owe money. And then we use common sense in certain areas of, because people have 1,000 questions for me about all of it, which I'll answer any one you have. But here's my point. I close with this. The whole context of the passage in Mark and in Matthew on the tax, do we pay tax to Caesar or not, is about finances. You can't twist it up any other way because the word says repay, pay, pay back. God said, Jesus says, render to God what is God's. Pay back to God what is God's. What is God's? Go back to Malachi. God says, you have robbed me of what? Of my tithes and offerings. And so we know the payback is that we've taken is tithes and offerings. We know what we owe is tithes and offerings. And so if there's minimal of anything that we know is 10% is the tithe, a very specific amount. God is a God of order. He's not a God of confusion. And so he lays it out very clearly. The tithe is a tenth. That's mine. Guys, what you do with that is up to you. But I will tell you this. What you do with the tenth shows what you think of God. You say, well, I give a tithe to shoes that I give to kids. That's not a tithe. That's an offering. Remember, if you designate it, it's not a tithe. I just want you to think about where you're at with God. And when we talk about money, it usually exposes where we are with God. I need you to hear me again. I'm not chasing your dollar. I'm not after your dollar. And I'm not even asking for your dollar. I'd like the hundreds. But at any rate, if you want to go somewhere. But think about where you are with your money and how this sermon jacked you up. If you sit there and go, yeah, the tithe's God's, so I don't care. If you sit there and went, yep, another church, another pastor talking about money. That's a litmus test of your relationship. And that's all I want you to think about. You know, even David we go back, Jacob and David and Abraham and all of them. It's like, do I give God nothing? Far be it. And they always gave to God. Just think about that. Don't walk out of here going, pastor wants your money. Walk out of here going, Lord, what do I do with this sermon? And then you land where you land. That's between you and God. Okay? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father in heaven, Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for, Father, thank you for your blessings. Thank you for this place that we have to meet. Father, thank you for those who are here. And Lord, I know every time I talk about the tithe, Father, I run the risk of insulting, offending, or pushing away people. Lord, please do a work in their heart to know that this is from you and not from me. Father, also to know that I'm not chasing the dollar, but Father, you are chasing after our hearts. And sometimes there's a direct connection between the two. Father, just help us to always see that. Help us to do what's right. Father, help us to seek your face. And then, Lord, may you get all the glory. And Father, may we get strengthened through it all. Father, if there's anyone here that does not know Jesus as their Savior, Lord, help them to forget about the tithe because it is of no value to them. Father, it isn't until we give our life to Jesus Christ that we become your child. And then it isn't until we become your child that you want to tithe. And so, Father, if there's someone here who's not saved, Lord, help them to see that money doesn't matter. And giving money doesn't get them to heaven. Being good doesn't get them to heaven. Father, paying a tithe does not get them to heaven. Father, if they don't know Jesus, that's the only way to heaven, then everything else is immaterial. Father, help them to see that. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're here today and you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I want to give you an opportunity to receive Christ. The Bible says, for whosoever believes under the name of Jesus Christ is saved. For by grace we are saved through faith in Jesus. It's not of ourselves. It's a gift of God. Grace, salvation is a gift of God. Or else we'd brag about it. If you're here today and you do not know if you'd go to heaven, 100% sure that if you were to die right now that you would go to heaven. Jesus came to fix that. Jesus came to die on the cross for your sins, for my sins, and that if we were to repent of our sins, believe unto Jesus, put all of our faith into Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior without doubting, without wavering, then we're promised eternal life. If you're here today and you wish to give your life to Jesus Christ, then that means this. This is what it means. That with all of your heart, you believe the Word of God, the Bible is true. With all of your heart, You believe Jesus died on the cross for your sins. You believe with all of your heart that he is the only way to heaven. You believe with all of your heart that he was raised on the third day and he's at the right hand of the Father. And you believe with all of your heart that he is the Son of God born of a virgin. If you believe that with your heart, not your head, and you wish to surrender your life today unto salvation, that Jesus is your Lord and Savior, I want you to pray this prayer. Now, the words don't save you. It was the fact that you believed all that other stuff with your heart. The words, the prayer is just a timestamp where you can go, this day, with all of my heart, I gave my life to Jesus Christ. The prayer is just a timestamp. And so if it's your desire to give your life to Jesus Christ and make him your Lord and Savior because you believe in him and him only to get you to heaven, then quietly to yourself, pray this prayer. Jesus, today, I believe. I believe with all of my heart that you are the Son of God, born of a virgin, who came to this earth, died on the cross for me. And today, with all faith, I put my trust in you. I understand money won't get me to heaven. I understand good works won't get me to heaven. But it's a belief in you, Jesus, is the only way I'm going to get to heaven. Today I believe you are my Savior. And today I surrender all.